It's good to see each and every one of you back this evening, those of you that have chosen to come back and worship God once again in the afternoon of the first day of the week. Appreciate your presence, and it's my hope and it's my desire that as we just sang a song entitled Wonderful Story of Love, that tonight I present to you that wonderful story that includes Jesus Christ and Him coming to this earth, living the life that He did, and offering Himself as a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. We turn to the Gospel of John, and we begin to read at the beginning of John's Gospel. When John introduces the things that he is going to write about, John reveals unto us many claims of Jesus. Some of those claims that are made, such as we begin reading in verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We see here that John, in the very beginning, reveals these certain claims of Jesus. Things such as being in the beginning, being with God, and being God. We also see where John reveals that the things that were made by Him, and that nothing that was made without Him. John would continue on in the next verse there, in verse 4, by expressing this claim, that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten, of the Father, full of grace and truth. There were a number of things that John mentions in this beginning of his gospel that concerned the claims of Jesus. Some of these claims that John reveals, and that later Jesus himself would even make, caused many to reject and eventually seek to have Him put to death. For example, claiming to have come down from heaven, claiming to be the bread in which the Father had sent down from heaven in chapter 6, caused many of those who followed Jesus to turn away and walk no longer with Him. Jesus referring Himself as being the Son of God, or calling God His Father, was taken by some as Jesus making Himself equal with God. And because Jesus made such a claim as this concerning Himself, those that heard tried to stone Him. These two claims in which Jesus made concerning Himself, but they're not the only claims that are considered great when it comes to studying the Word of God. There are many other claims that are made that are and have been revealed in the Word of God that would relate to mankind. Many great lessons that we would all do well to be familiar with, to make ourselves known of them, so that we might understand better the things concerning the will of God. Tonight in this lesson, it is my desire to present to you these claims that were made by Jesus in relation to our needs, in relation to humans' needs. For without these claims, we would not have been provided the things that need to be in order for us to be right with God, to be acceptable unto God, to be favored unto God, and eventually received in eternity by God. One of the basic needs for all of mankind that I want to point out tonight, that's pointed out in the Word of God, is the need to have fellowship with God. While some may deny that they have such a need as this, a brief look at the history of man, that as long as man has walked the face of this earth, that has lived upon this earth, reveals otherwise. Every civilization, going all the way back to Adam, to this very present moment in time, bears record of man's search for God. It may not have been the only true and living God that man searched for, but man has always been in search for a God. While some concepts of God may vary, man is united in the need to have a relationship with someone or something to worship. Paul explained this need when he spoke in the book of Acts, in the 17th chapter, in the city of Athens. We know the story. We've studied. We've read through this hundreds of times. And it's here that when Paul is speaking to those in the city of Athens, he makes known unto them, to their unknown God, whom they ignorantly worshipped, that's the one that Paul declared unto them, that it was this God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeth he giveth to all life, breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He goes on to say, for in him we move, live and move and have our very being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Those who have never heard of the true and living God, Paul declares unto them, because their culture was a culture that sought to have a relationship with God, or more than one God, I should say. God created man with this inner desire. Because man is created in the image of God, therefore man has this desire to seek something or someone to worship. Only those who deny this need go through life never finding full satisfaction, like Solomon. In Solomon, in his search for the meaning of life, he explored material things, pretty much anything and everything that a man could explore. And yet, like Solomon, the conclusion is often made, as was made in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, all is vanity and grasping for wind. It is only when we come to have fellowship with God that our life can be complete, that any man's life can be complete. Solomon concluded as one of our memory verses in Ecclesiastes 12 that man's purpose, man's only purpose here on this earth is to fear God and keep His commandments. Even Jesus made claim to this as He was tempted from the devil or by the devil. In the Gospel of Matthew and in chapter 4, you remember Jesus responded that man cannot live by bread alone. But what can man live by? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The need to have fellowship with God can only be fulfilled by Jesus. As He expressed to Thomas in another one of our memory verses in the Gospel of John in chapter 14 in verses 6 through 9. But you know, that's not the only need that man has. Man has the need of salvation from his sin. Again, I repeat this, as well as many others, will repeat that it is Jesus and that it is Jesus alone that can provide for this need. The sins of mankind are obvious. All you have to do is look outside, look at the world around us in which we live, and it's obvious that sin is running rampant. The Apostle Paul and other New Testament writers of the Bible reveal the condition of the world and the problem of sin that's in the world. The problem with sin lies within man himself. And because it lies within man himself, man cannot, nor will he ever be able to save himself from his sins. Therefore, man is in need. And in need of salvation. He's in need from the guilt of sin. He's in need of the power of sin. And the only one that can provide and satisfy this need is Jesus. It was Jesus that claimed that He's the only one that can save man from their sins. And you'll remember that that caused controversy, especially with the Jews, when Jesus made reference to the fact that anyone who is living in sin is a servant of sin. And the Jews responded back, "We've never been servants. We've never been slaves. We are all servants of sin before we obey the gospel, before we're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. And then once we have been baptized and put on Christ in our lives, we are no longer servants of sin, but servants of righteousness. Because Jesus provided that need. It was sin, and it is sin, that continues to separate man from God. Another claim made by the Savior is His offer to set men free from sin, to set men free from the guilt of sin, and as I've already mentioned, to set man free from the slavery of sin. Through His death on the cross and through the sending of His Son, God provided the need of salvation from our sin to be satisfied. Jesus made that claim in relation to our needs. We have a need to have a relationship with God. We have a fellowship with God. We have a need to have salvation or receive salvation from our sin. But that's not the only claim that was made concerning Jesus for our human needs. Another one is the need for guidance. It is clearly taught, it is clearly expressed in Scripture that man has a need to be guided by something in this life. And that something is the Word of God in chapter 10, verse 23. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In Proverbs 16, in verse 25, the way that seemeth right to man leads to death. It is only through and from the Word of God that man can know how to live his life. In society, those who do not know God, or those who have forgot God, their way of life is in complete chaos. Paul provides for us, that we've already studied on Sunday morning in our Bible class, in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 28. Where he says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." When you read that list that the Apostle Paul penned in the Roman letter, there is no doubt that anyone that leads the kind of life that's in that list is chaotic. But here, coming to our aid, Jesus offers Himself, as John expressed in John chapter 8 and verse 12, as the light of the world. In John chapter 10 and in verse 11, Jesus offers Himself as the good shepherd. All of us know and understand what it means to have light. Jesus' claim to being the light of the world is that He's the guide. The guide for man through a dark and difficult world. Jesus' claim to being the good shepherd is that He is the protector. He's the provider. I don't know that any of us could ever fully appreciate what it meant in that day and time to be a shepherd. But one looks at the life of David when he was a young boy might get just a little bit of understanding that it was the shepherd's responsibility to see to protect, and to take care of the flock, no matter what the cost. When a lion came, David destroyed the lion. When a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, David destroyed the bear. And all of us understand and know and are very thankful when it comes to light. I don't know many of us that like to survive or try to survive in the dark. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the guide. He's the example that we've just sang about. He's the pattern for the life that we should live here upon this earth. The reason He is because we have that need to be guided. And Jesus made that claim to Himself, or of Himself. But you know, there's another claim that Jesus made concerning our needs, and that is to sustain man spiritually. As I mentioned a moment ago, man was created in the beginning in the image of God. When God created man, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. From the dust of the ground created man. God created man. Man is both a physical and a spiritual being. And just as we have seen in both Solomon and Jesus, the things that this world has to offer, the things that are in this world cannot and will never be able to satisfy man completely. No matter what we have, no matter what we do, we cannot be satisfied with material things. The spiritual side of man needs sustained. And it is Jesus in His claim that can provide and satisfy man spiritually. In the Gospel of John, these claims are revealed. Throughout much of the Gospel of John, John reveals that Jesus made the claim of being the water of life. You remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well? That He tells her that anyone that drinks of this water would never thirst. It was her desire to partake of that water. Jesus made claim of being the bread of life. Jesus made claim that in Him there's joy, there's peace. A peace that the world cannot give. A peace that overcomes trial and tribulation. Man has a need to be sustained spiritually. And it is only Jesus Christ that can provide such. And then there's one other. In His claim of Himself, man had a need for immortality. Here, once again, anyone that likes history that enjoys reading and studying about the history of man can see that man not only has this yearning to find something to worship, whether it be the true and living God or whether it be just other gods that man creates or makes up in his mind, man has always had a need for the immortal. Mankind has searched and longed for immortality. Go back and look and read up in the ancient civilizations and cultures that have desired immortality, because the proof is there by the care and the thought process of them caring for their dead. Archaeologists digging up the remains of so many people over the years reveal that man has thought much of immortality, so much so that they bury personal items so that the individual will be able to carry them with them in the next life. We express ourselves from time to time this need with our own desire to prolong life for as long as we can. But there again, Jesus comes to our aid. Because we have this need of immortality, Jesus claimed, "I'm the resurrection and the life." The need of immortality can be met. Because we have this need, Jesus provided all that we need. Death or dying in Him is nothing to fear. There is no greater comfort than to know that those who have died in the Lord or those who will die in the Lord are blessed. As stated by John in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. There's your concern for immortality. There's your concern if you want to live in eternity. Are you in the Lord this evening? If you were to die, will you die in the Lord or will you die outside of the Lord? Depending upon where you are, has a great deal to do, has all there is to do with whether or not you will live or die the second death. Have you been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ? Are you living faithfully under the Lord? These are the two questions we ask as we extend in the invitation of our Lord in Jesus Christ. Jesus made claim of Himself of many things. Everything that Jesus claimed to be, He claimed to be because of the need of mankind. He is the resurrection and the life. It is through Him and by Him, and by Him alone, that you may receive the gift of eternal life. Have you been buried with Him in baptism? Have you put Him on? Are you living for Him? You have that need. You may not have realized it, but you've got that need. Let Jesus satisfy the need that you have. As together we stand and sing, won't you come and obey the Word of God?